ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಾಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕ ಕಾಂತ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ಜಾಯಥಾಂ ಸುರಥಾವ ಭಂಗೋರ್ ಮಮ ಮಂದ ಮತಿಯರ್ಗತಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ವಾಪದಂ ಭೋಜಾವ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನ ಮೋಹನ. ದಿವ್ಯಾದ್ ಬೃಂದರಣ್ಯ ಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾಧಾ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ರತ್ನಾಕರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥಾವ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇವಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಲಿಬಿ ಸೇವ್ಯ ಮನೋಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ. ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ರಾಸರ ಸಾರಂಭಿ ಬಂಸಿ ಭಾತ ತಥಾಸ್ತ ಖರ್ಷನ್ ಧೇನು ಸ್ವನಾಯರ್ ಗೋಪಿಯ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠ. This is a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Sriman Rasara Sarambi Bamsivata Tathastita Karshan Venu Svanayra Gopir Gopinatha Sviyastana. That standing under the Bamsivata tree, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Gopinath, plays upon his divine flute, attracting the hearts of all the damsels of Vrindavan. This beautiful sloka is especially illustrating the divine leela that we are celebrating on this most auspicious night. It is Sharat Purnima. It describes in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam the story of Lord Sri Krishna's Rasa Leela with the damsels of Braja. But before discussing this supremely holy pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we must first comprehend the divine nature of this beautiful historical event. Spiritual life is a science. Krishna says in Gita, Rajya Vidya Rajya Guyam Pavitram Itam Uttam Pratyakshavagamam Dharamam Shushukam Karatamabhi. That this knowledge is the king of knowledge. It is the supreme education. It is the most perfect and pure of all knowledge because it gives direct perception of the self through realization. When we approach the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, we must approach it as a science. In the science of mathematics, first of all, you must have the proper books. And you must also have a proper teacher to instruct you. That is why we go to school. In the school, we are given the authorized books, and they are being taught by an authorized teacher. But there is also a very systematic arrangement in each school. How we gradually progress from one stage of the subject matter to the next. Huh? Just like we never take a 4-year or 5-year-old child and sit him in a college, IIT, to sit and hear about advanced trigonometry in the process of mathematics. Because he will simply misunderstand everything. It will be beyond his comprehension. Therefore, you have to take such a child and you have to give him the basic books of arithmetic, the basic books of grammar, and have the teacher come down to his level to teach him. Someone may ask, that the teacher has a PhD in mathematics, and he's teaching 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, 3 + 3 = 6. Because if the teacher does not come down to the level of the student cannot understand. So therefore, those most divinely compassionate souls who are fully realized in the divine loving service of the Supreme Lord, they come to this world and they come down to our level to teach us the basic ABCs. If they start to tell us about their divine realizations with God, we might enjoy it, but we will not be able to understand or digest it. So such enjoyment, what is the use? Just like the child sitting in the trigonometry class is simply enjoying all these far out words that he's never heard before, but he's gaining no benefits. Huh? So you may enjoy this, but you sit in your first standard and you learn. So Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by the great professor Shukadev Goswami. And he specifically begins in the first canto. And he describes the greatness of God. What is the spiritual nature? How God is the supreme controller of everything. How he has created everything. How he is completely transcendental to all of the conditions of material existence. How he is perfect and complete, and everything he does is utterly perfect and complete. It is described that we should first learn Bhagavad Gita. That is the preliminary ABCs of self-realization. And from Bhagavad Gita, then we should approach the first canto of Bhagavatam and begin to study the first verse and gradually progress to higher and higher levels of understanding. One time I was speaking at a university, and one professor afterward, he was a professor of Hinduism, and he got his PhD at Banaras University. And this was in America, in Ashland, Kentucky. And this professor came to me and said, "Why are you worshiping Krishna? Of all the gods, why Krishna? He's such a lusty boy. He's going in the middle of the night. He's meeting other men's wives, and he's dancing with them and embracing of them. He says, I have done my dissertation in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. I know what kind of a person this Krishna is. He's hiding in the bushes with Sri Radharani. What is this? What kind of God is this? He's in it. He's not even following the basic principles of mundane morality. Why of all gods you choose Krishna? I think you're crazy." I asked them, "Have you studied Bhagavad Gita? Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yobaram chuta tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuyate. Do you know that you're not this body? Do you know that you are the eternal soul? Do you understand these basic principles of Bhagavad Gita? Have you studied under a teacher?" He said, "No." I said, "What kind of professor are you? You have jumped to the highest subject matter, and you know nothing about the preliminary elementary basics. Therefore, how will you ever understand these high subject matters?" And then he looked at me and he said that, "I'm sorry, I would like to discuss this matter further with you, but my wife is waiting for me for dinner, and if I don't get home right away, she will become very angry." And I said, "All right, this is your realization, you go home." You see, this Ras Leela is very, very high subject matter. Through reading Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter, we see how Krishna manifests the Virat Rup, the universal form, where everything is within him. He is the supreme controller of everything that exists. You may call yourself God, But can you reveal to us your universal form? That is the difference between Krishna and us. If you are God, show us your universal form. First, we must understand how great is God. How divine, pure, and supreme is everything he does, everything he says. He is the absolute truth. He is the cause of all causes. Everything is emanating from him. Matta parataram nanyat kinchin asti dhananjayat mai sarvam idam protam sutre maniganaiva. Krishna says, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung in a thread. Aham sarvasya prabhavam matta sarvam prabhartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Sometimes people like to perform Raslila. There is a class of men called Prakrita Sahajyas. And one man will gather so many unmarried girls and he will say, I am Krishna, you are Krishna, we are all Krishnas, but I am playing the role of Krishna, so let us now perform the Raslila together. Huh? This is very common. But what I say to you is Krishna is Gopi Jana Balabha. That means he is the enjoyer of the gopis. But he is also Girivaradhari, which means he is the lifter of Govardhan Hill. If you cannot do everything Krishna does, don't try to imitate some of the things he does. When he was 7 years old, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Huh? When he was 8 years old, he performed the Raslila, in that order. So first you go to Vrindavan and you lift Govardhan Hill. With the little finger of your left hand, you hold it up for 7 days. You can hardly walk around Govardhan Hill without being tired. Huh? Go ahead, lift it up, left finger, left hand, hold it 7 days without even exerting any energy. And then after that, 1 year later, then you can dance with the gopis. Krishna is God. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth. We must understand his perfectly pure position. This divine pastime, which we are about to narrate in summary, is a very holy and sacred lila of between the Lord and the most pristine, pure, and exalted of all transcendental yogis in all of existence, the gopis of Vrindavan. The gopis of Vrindavan, they are coming from one of two places. They are either descending from the perfect abode of the highest Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan, just to assist the Lord in his divine lila. Or in many, many previous births, they have been yogis and completely purified their lives, detaching themselves from all material desires for sense gratification and awakening the highest principles of love of God within their hearts. They are not ordinary women. They have no desire for sense gratification. Their only desire is to please Krishna. This is the supreme reciprocation of divine love. And Shukadeva Goswami explains that anyone who jumps to the 10th canto and jumps to this Raslila and enjoys reading this lila, thinking that this is a lila about some nice ordinary boy named Krishna dancing into these gopis, such a person is drinking poison. It will kill your spiritual inclinations. This is a very, very exalted subject matter. So it is described by Srila Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. And try to understand who is Shukadeva Goswami and who is Maharaj Parikshit. Who are the personalities discussing this Raslila? Shukadeva Goswami, perfectly purified, liberated soul. When he was in the womb of his mother, he was Brahman realized. He had already attained mukti. Therefore, he felt But why should I come out of this womb of my mother? Because this world is full of so much bondage and so much entanglement. Huh? There are so many distractions to take my mind away from this mukti, this Brahman realization. So he remained within the womb of his mother for 16 long years. And his father, Vedavyas, was begging his son, come out, come out. Finally, Vedavyas began to narrate the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. And when Shukadev Goswami heard that, he was thinking that the pastimes of Bhagavan Sri Krishna are so sweet, so pleasing to the heart, that I do not even care for mukti after hearing this. The pleasure of bhakti is hundreds and billions of times more pleasing than the exalted position of mukti. So he came out of the womb. And he left his father's house and just started going into the forest. He was naked. 16-year-old boy. And his father was chasing after him. After all, father, after waiting 16 years for a boy, he wants to at least treat him as a son for some time. Huh? So as he was chasing through the forest, they came to one pond of water. And in this pond of water, there were all these young girls bathing. And they were bathing without any clothes. And when Shukadev Goswami came, they all just began to smile amongst each other as he walked by. And then Vedavyas came behind him looking. And when they saw Vedavyas, they became very frightened. Immediately there was disturbance. And they all started putting on their clothes, saying, why have you come? Vedavyas could not understand. What is this? He said, my son, he is only 16, he is your age. He's naked. Why you were not at all disturbed when he came? I'm old enough to be your father. Why you are disturbed when I come? So the gopis, they could understand the mind of Shukadev Goswami. You see, women have a very special mystic power to understand the minds of men. It is a special God-given gift. I was told by one sadhu one time that if you want to understand who is a true brahmachari, you have to ask the Matajis. The other brahmacharis, they cannot understand. Huh? But a woman knows the mind of a man. A woman can evaluate the motivations of a man. And women also use this mystic power. Just like in marriage, it is a common fact that woman is very expert at controlling her husband. And her expertise is that by appearing to be under his control, she controls him. Huh? So every husband in every family is saying, yes, I am the controller of my family. And the wife, she is simply smiling within her heart, saying, yes, 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 you are the controller. But in her heart, she knows that he's like a puppet in my hands. Huh? Matajis, is that the way it is? This is the great illusion of family life. That the man, he's thinking that I am in control of this family. Just see how nicely I am controlling everything around me. But all the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they see that he's simply being controlled by his wife. And his wife, she is secretly keeping it very secret how he is being controlled. Everybody sees except him. So these young girls, they had this perception. And they told Vedavyas that Shukadev Goswami is completely pure. He does not even see the difference between a male and a female. To him, there is no difference. He only sees the soul. But you, Vedavyas, you are also a perfectly liberated soul. But because you are a family man, you must make distinctions between male and female. Therefore, we are ashamed to be before you, but we are not ashamed to be before Shukadev Goswami. He is completely purified soul. So this is the quality of the person that is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Do you think that Shukadeva Goswami would be interested in speaking about some mundane lusty activities between boys and girls in the forest? Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit, he left all the pleasures of his family, all the pleasures of being the king of the world. He left everything to sit in the bank of the Ganges to fast for 7 days, only to hear the perfect glories of the Lord from the highest elevated Paramahamsa saints. Do you think the subject matter between such exalted personalities are the subject matters of what they saw on television last night? Or some ordinary mundane novel written by some ordinary mundane person? Their discussion is in the highest, purest spiritual truths in all of existence. So Shukadeva Goswami describes to Maharaj Parikshit that on this most sacred and holy evening of the full moon night of the month of Kartik, Sharad Purnima, in the forests of Vrindavan, the moon is rising on the eastern horizon. It is a beautiful, beautiful golden color. And all around, the whole atmosphere is surcharged. The sky, as if it is painted by the beautiful golden or illuminating aura of the moon. The birds are singing sweet, sweet songs, most pleasing to the ears. And the wind, in its charming way, is blowing through the leaves and the trees, singing a beautiful song. Indeed, of all nights, this is considered to be the king of all beauty. The whole forest of Brijadham was intoxicated with the sweetness of this most auspicious evening. And thus, within the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Samsundar, awoke the desire to enjoy the beautiful Leela of the Rasa dance with his most beloved gopis. So he stood in his threefold bending form, his hair bedecked with the peacock feather. And he began to play upon his celebrated flute the most charming fifth note, which captivates the hearts and the minds of all living beings. And the ambrosial sound of the celestial flute of Sri Shamsundar utterly permeated every molecule, every atom of the atmosphere of Vrindavan. And when it entered into the ears of the gopis, they were wishing millions and millions and billions of years. And when it went through their ears into their hearts, their minds and their hearts became conquered by the sweet love that was their most cherished treasure of life within their own hearts. Whatever their occupations were, they could not even consider any importance. They simply ran to meet with Krishna. They understood Krishna is calling. He is calling for us. Not a single gopi was thinking, let us enjoy with Krishna. But their feeling was, let us give pleasure to Krishna. Our heart, our soul, our life is simply to give pleasure to Krishna. Our only desire, our only ambition is to give pleasure to Sri Krishna. So it is described that some of the gopis were milking the cows, because after all, in the evening is the most auspicious time for milking the cows. And the bucket under the cows half finished in their milking. When they heard the flute of Sri Krishna, they could not even consider taking the time to even take the bucket away from the cow. They just left the bucket, left the cow, and ran to the forest. Other gopis were cooking milk. It is described by Shukadeva Goswami that one gopi had the milk was boiling and she was stirring. And when she heard Krishna's flute, she did not turn off the fire. She did not move the pot. She did not even move the spoon. She just left it to boil over and ran into the forest to meet with Krishna. Sri Gopinath. And another gopi, this particular gopi, she was serving her father-in-law, her husband, all of her in-laws, nice prasad. And when the flute entered into her heart, she did not even consider what anyone will say. She just put down the pots and ran out the door. Everyone was looking, you cannot go, you stay here with us. But she did not have time to even hear their words. Another gopi was breastfeeding her own baby. You know how much a mother is naturally attached to her infant child. She was feeding the milk from her breast to her baby child. And when she heard the celebrated flute of Sri Krishna, she gently placed her child to the aside and ran to the forest. She did not consider who will take care of my baby. She only considered Krishna's calling. Some of the gopis were about to take rest with their husbands. And when Krishna's flute entered into their lives, they simply left their husbands behind to run to the forest to meet Sri Shyam Sundar. It is described that some of the gopis, their protectors, their fathers, their husbands, were so much against their going to see with Krishna that they forcibly captured them and locked them in rooms so they could not escape. And those gopis, their minds were so fixed with intense feelings of separation for Krishna that they could not maintain their lives, but they gave up their material bodies. This is the eagerness, the intensity of the damsels of Vrindavan. Their first priority in life was to please Krishna. And when Krishna calls, nothing can stand between them. And we find that oftentimes the call of God comes into one's life. And when the call of God comes into your life, nothing can hold you back. There is a saying that when the call of God comes into one's life, it is like the call of death. It must be obeyed. So the gopis were running through the forest. They were in such a commotion to meet with Krishna. They were thinking, we should look very nice for Krishna. So they began to very fastly, some of them decorating their faces, put on nice clothes. But they were so anxious to meet with Krishna that they could not do anything properly. Some of them put the top part of their clothes on the bottom part of their body and the bottom part of their clothes on the top part of their body. Some of them were putting up on their cosmetics and they would only put half the lips, half the eyes. It was quite a scene. And deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the jungles they ran until they came upon the blessed Bamsiva tree. And there was the beautiful form of Govinda, charmingly glancing upon him with his lotus-like eyes. And he began to speak, "My dear gopis, It is very nice that you have come to meet with me here in the middle of the night. But this is a very dangerous place. You are all young girls. You have no power to protect yourselves. There are lions, and there are tigers, and there are wolves and jackals all around. And they are all very hungry to find some prey. You should go home immediately, where it is safe and protected. Besides that, do you not understand that you are chaste women? And you have husbands and protectors. Not only is it unsafe and dangerous, but it is completely against all religious principles for you to be coming in the forest in the middle of the night to meet another man. So in so many ways, Krishna was preaching to them to go home. He said, yes, yes, I know you want to see the beauty of the Vrindavan forest on this most auspicious night. So you have seen the beauty. Now you go home. And not only that, my dear gopis, I can understand that you have sacrificed everything only for my sake. You are my surrendered devotees. I have called you and you have given up all considerations of all other responsibilities just to please me. Now I am pleased, now you go home. The gopis began to cry. They looked to the ground. Like shy village girls, they began to draw pictures on the ground with their toes. And then they looked toward Krishna, and they replied, "But Krishna, your words are like arrows into our hearts. You say that we should be attached to our family members. Well, why should we be attached to our family members? Who are our family members? The fact is, my dear Krishna, your presence in their heart gives them life. You are the Atma, the Paramatma. As soon as you leave anyone's heart, that person becomes a dead corpse. Who is in love with a dead corpse? However beloved someone is, when you leave their hearts, we have no affection for that body. We either put it in the river, or we bury it in the ground, or we feed it to the birds, or we burn it with fire. There's no affection for a body. So actually, who is it that we really love? It is you within their heart. It is the life force, the soul, which is part of you. So therefore, Krishna, you are the only object of everyone's love at all times. And you are the supreme Purusha. You are the supreme enjoyer. You are the husband of all living beings, and all living beings are your wives. They are all meant for your enjoyment. You are the supreme father, the supreme husband, the supreme protector, the supreme object of everyone's love. So Krishna, we are not doing anything wrong coming for you. When you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. All of our family members and everyone else are your parts and parcels. If we satisfy you, everyone will experience the ultimate ecstasy and joy in life. Devarashi bhutapta niranam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam nanicha rajam saravatmana yasharanam sharanyam gatomukandham varadintya karatam. It is described that we have so many obligations in this world. Obligations to the society, obligations to the politicians, obligations to our ancestors, obligations to our family members, obligations to the demigods, obligations to everybody who gives you any favors in life. This means that if you satisfy Krishna, all your obligations are perfectly fulfilled. So the gopis spoke like this before Krishna. And when Krishna saw how deeply and sincerely they wanted to please him and serve him and give him pleasure, even the heart of God becomes melted by such bhakti. Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers, but he is controlled by the love of his devotee.
That is his nature. He is Bhaktivatsal. What does that mean? It means that he is always subordinate to the love of his devotee. When Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna with rope, who can bind God? He is keeping everybody in the bondage of his external energy, Maya. Arjuna saw the Virat Rup, where thousands and millions of soldiers were being devoured by the mouths of this most terrible form, the form of time, the form of death. Mother Yashoda was just a simple little gopi. How can she bind that personality who is the source of the Virat Rup? Huh? Because of her love, because of her bhakti, that same Supreme Godhead agreed to be bound by the rope of her love. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, bhaktyatvana niyashakyam aham evam vidorja. It is only by pure devotion, it is only by pure love that I can be understood as I am. So the gopis melted the heart of Krishna by their eagerness to serve him with devotion. Try to understand the most exalted position of the gopis. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, he explains that there is no devotion superior to the devotion of the damsels of Brajadham. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi of the highest order. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the ultimate state of renunciation was exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that in his line or his sampradaya, all sannyasis must meditate on the renunciation of the gopis. This is a very transcendental conception that sannyasis of the highest order who have given up everything in this world, they are meditating on beautiful young girls who are leaving their husbands and going into the forest to dance with another man. Huh? This is the meditation of the greatest sannyasis. Why is that? Because the quality of the renunciation of the gopis has never been seen anywhere to such an extent. Not only did they give up all protection, their family members rejected them when they went into the forest. That means they had nothing. They were to be living in the forest with tigers, lions, jackals, with no play, no home to return to for the pleasure of Krishna. They were giving up all the comforts, all the enjoyments of life for the pleasure of Krishna. They put aside all attachments of personal relationships for the pleasure of Krishna. But these things are not very difficult compared to the supreme manifestation of their love, that they were willing to even give up their pride, their prestige. There's nothing more difficult than this. Because to a cultured lady in a civilized society, there is nothing more precious and valuable than her chastity. Just like Draupadi, how much she understood that to be seen naked before these other men in the assembly of the Kurus was billions and billions of times worse than death. For a woman to lose her chastity is unimaginable. The gopis were willing to even sacrifice the pride and prestige of being chaste women for the pleasure of Krishna. Pride is the ultimate bondage of this world. It is the most difficult thing to give up. The hardest thing in this world is to be humble. We see, even in spiritual circles, sometimes a person gives up all. Sometimes a king goes to the forest to become a mendicant. He gives up all his wealth. He gives up all his material ties. He's fasting, hardly eating nothing but a few grains of rice or a little water a day. He's depriving himself of money. He's depriving himself of sleep. He's depriving himself of food. And in his heart he is thinking, ah, I am very great. I am very spiritual advanced. Just see what I have done. Eh? There is nothing more dangerous. There is nothing more unsatisfying to God than when pride is within our heart. I remember one time a devotee was fasting like anything. And when he would see other devotees eating, he would be thinking, ah, just see how they're enjoying so much sense gratification. But I'm not. Because if your fasting is making you proud that you're better than somebody else, then that fasting is simply feeding, you're simply feeding your pride. Your pride is getting fat as anything. Although your body's becoming very, very lean and thin. Huh? So what is the use? Trinarapi sunichi na tarorapi suheshmina. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that if you want to chant the name of God constantly, you must become more humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect no respect for oneself. Only in this way can you chant the name of God constantly. Pride is very difficult to give up in this world. Sometimes we think that, oh, I'm becoming very humble. But then Krishna tests you and someone says something against you that isn't true. And you go, what? How can you say like that? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done? Huh? Sometimes pride is like a sleeping serpent. And as soon as someone steps on it, it just raises its hood. Huh? It strikes like a sleeping cobra. Pride is very difficult to overcome. But the damsels of Vraja, they exhibited the ultimate manifestation of humility. For Krishna's sake, for the pleasure of Krishna, they were willing to be considered by their own loved ones and by the whole of society to be prostitutes. They didn't care if that's what it took to please Krishna. Huh? But of course, those who understand the subtle principles of yoga, they understand that the gopis, they are the supreme topmost of all yogis. Krishna says in Gita, yogi nama pisaravesham madhyate nantaratmana shradavan bhajateyo mam samayukta tamam. Of all yogis, one who thinks of me with great devotion and faith, that person is the highest of yogis and most intimately united with me in yoga. And who is more immersed with faith and devotion in Krishna than the gopis? So Krishna, being satisfied by this great devotion, bhakti, he began to roam through the forest with the damsels of Braj. And they were dancing together, singing together. But then Krishna sensed that there was another type of pride in the heart of the gopis. Can you imagine? Krishna is a very, very, he wants everything. They've already given up everything for him. They've already given up everything we're talking about and millions of times more. And they're dancing with Krishna only for his pleasure. And the gopis began to think, and Krishna could understand their hearts because he is within their hearts. They were thinking that, Krishna has chosen only me. I am very fortunate. I am very special. A devotee never thinks, I am special. A devotee thinks Krishna is special. Out of his causeless mercy, even me, I'm nothing. But if we think I'm very special, Krishna has seen, Krishna has thus learned the truth, who I am, what a great person I am. The world does not know, but Krishna knows what I have given, what I have done, who I am. Krishna could not even tolerate the pride in the gopis' hearts. When pride enters into your heart, Krishna leaves. So Krishna disappeared from the sight of the gopis. And they became mad in separation. Where is our Lord? Where is Thakurji, Shyam Sundar? Where has he gone? And they began, They began to search through the forest, running in all directions, looking here and looking there, but they could not find their beloved Sri Krishna anywhere. And thus, in an urgent and helpless condition, they began to approach all the moving and non-moving living beings in the forest, begging, can you help us find Krishna? They went to the trees, the creepers, the plants. Have you seen this lotus-eyed Nandanandana? Has he passed this way? Please, before we die of separation, give us some direction where he has gone. But the trees and the creepers had nothing to say. The gopis were pleading with them, how can you be so cruel? Answer us, where is the darling of Mother Yashoda? And then they went to the deer, oh lotus-eyed deer, you are the innocent creature of the forest. You are always the favorite of Lord Sri Krishna. Have you seen him? Where has he gone? Give us some indication. The fire of separation is burning in our hearts, and if it is not quenched by the sight of Krishna, it will burn our very lives to ashes. They were approaching the monkeys, the peacocks. They were approaching the sky, the stars, begging them, please, where is my beloved Krishna? Where is that beautiful lifter of Govardhan Hill, Sri Giridhari? And then the gopis, in madness, immersed in the thought of Krishna, just to maintain and survive, they had to enact his divine lila amongst themselves. One gopi would pretend she was Kaliya, the serpent, and then another gopi would start dancing on her heads, pretending she was Krishna. Another gopi was pretending she was Putana. I have come to kill you with the poison from my breast. And then another gopi would begin to pretend she was Krishna and begin to suck. Now you will die, Putana. Another gopi pretended that she was Trinavarta, the whirlwind, and another gopi came and got on her shoulder and threw her to the ground. In this way, they were mad. Searching here, there, everywhere. And alas, they saw two sets of footprints. One was that of Sri Krishna, and one was that of the most special of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani. And the gopis were thinking, just see, he has gone with this other gopi, let us follow. So they began to follow the footprints deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. And then they noticed that the two sets of footprints became one. But the one set of footprints were deeper within the ground. The gopis were very analytical. They were very scientific. They were discovering all these higher truths in life. it was being revealed within their hearts that, the reason why these footprints of Lord Sri Krishna are now deeper in the ground is because the gopi who was with him became tired. And out of his love, he has put her on his shoulders and he is carrying her, and therefore he is heavier. So they began to follow this set of footprints deeper and deeper and deeper into the forests of Vrindavan. And then they noticed that right before them, under a tree, was that divine gopi, Srimati Radharani. She was sitting under that tree, tears flowing from her eyes like the rivers Jamuna and Ganga, crying and crying and crying. Where is my Shyam Sundar? Where is Thakurji, the Lord of my life? And the other gopis, seeing her, they all began to cry and lament how much separation she is feeling, even greater than us. And then they all got up and began to search for Krishna. Now Krishna was hiding under a tree. And when all the gopis were coming, he was thinking, they will find me. I have to make some arrangement to disguise myself. So his beautiful Vrindavan Chandra transformed into the munificent opulent roop of Lord Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. And the gopis, with great respect and reverence, they bowed their heads at the feet of Lord Narayan. And they said, "Oh Lord Narayan, you are the Lord of the universe. We offer our obeisances to you. Have you seen Krishna? We're looking for Krishna. Please tell us, where has Krishna gone?" The gopis were not concerned even with Narayan. What to speak of the things of this world? They cared nothing for mukti. They cared nothing even for the Lord of the universe. They were only thinking, how can we give pleasure to Krishna? And the gopis did not even know he was God. All they knew was that he is Krishna. All that they knew is that he is the love of our life. He is Vrindavan Nath. Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadev Goswami that why? If they did not even know that he was God, if they just thought he was a boy, why such an exalted position? Does that mean if any girl thinks of another boy with such intensity that they will become so purified? Sukadev Goswami said the difference is that Krishna is God. Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Krishna is the proprietor of all six opulences in full. All wealth, all knowledge, all strength, all beauty, all fame, and all renunciation are possessed by Krishna alone. And then Shukadev Goswami began to explain, just see Shishupal. Shishupal was envious of Krishna. He hated Krishna. And because he was always accusing Krishna of bad things, and he was always condemning Krishna, and he was always criticizing Krishna, he didn't accept Krishna as God. He considered Krishna his competitor and his enemy. But because he was always thinking of Krishna, when he died, he attained the perfection of liberation. That is the difference between Krishna and an ordinary person of this world. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhya jimnam namaskuru mami vaishyasi satyante pratijani priyoshimi. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. This is Krishna consciousness. So the gopis bowed down to Narayan and their only question was, have you seen Krishna? All respects to you, but where is our beloved Nanda Nandana? Where is our beloved Vrindavan Bihari Lal? We only want to find the enjoyer of Vrindavan. We are not concerned with the Lord of the universe. So Narayan, with his four hands, he turned them all and said, yes, he has gone this way. And the gopis thought, ah, and they said, namaste, namo na, om namo Narayan. And then they ran looking for Krishna. And then Srimati Radharani came. And when Krishna saw Srimati Radharani coming, he was thinking, ah, now I must trick her also. So Srimati Radharani very humbly bowed her head. Oh, Lord Narayan, have you seen the lotus-eyed enjoyer of the forest of Vrindavan, Sri Krishna? Where has he gone? And in the presence of the pure bhakti of Srimati Radharani, Krishna, although as hard as he could, he was trying to maintain this disguise, his two extra arms unavoidably and uncontrollably just melted away. And then Srimati Radharani said, ah, you are Krishna, very nice. And then Krishna revealed himself to all of the gopis, and they began to enjoy the beautiful forests of Vrindavan. In other words, all that pride was taken from their heart. Krishna tests us. Sometimes he tests us by not being present before us, just to curb that pride within our heart, so that we understand that we are fully dependent on his mercy alone. We can only approach Krishna through his mercy alone. And it is explained that Krishna and the gopis, they became very hot because they were dancing very nicely. So they went into the beautiful waters, the refreshing waves of Jamuna. And there they began to perform wonderful water sports, splashing one another, smiling and laughing. And then they came out of the forest river of Jamuna, and they began to dance. And they danced in a large, there were thousands of gopis. And Krishna expanded himself. He was standing between each gopi. And each gopi, as they were dancing, was thinking that Krishna's looking only at me. Krishna's smiling only at me. Krishna's dancing only with me. Krishna's enjoying my service, the service I am offering. How merciful, how causelessly merciful he is. And in this way, Lord Sri Krishna completely satisfied all the desire of the gopis to offer this loving devotional service to him. So on this beautiful night of Ras Purnima, we can meditate on the beauty and the glory of surrender. Some people think that surrender means to give up everything, and what do we have? The fact is, when you surrender everything for Krishna, you gain the supreme benediction of the eternal joy of the soul, the joy of love. And of course, after enjoying the Ras Lila, the gopis wanted the Ras Lila to go on and on and on. They never wanted it to end. Krishna, by his mystic power, he allowed the Ras Lila to go on for one entire night of Brahma, which is several billions of years. But he stopped the rest of time. So after those billions of years of dancing with Krishna in the forest for that night of Brahma, when the Ras Lila was over, he turned time back on. And it was just the next morning for everyone else. Huh? This is called the Chintya Shakti. Krishna can do anything. When you understand who is God, you understand there is nothing God cannot do. Huh? You cannot stop time for even 1 second. But Krishna stopped time for several billions of years just so he can give his gopis this enjoyment of dancing and serving him in this way. And then, of course, it is said when you surrender to Krishna, you are never the loser. When they went back home, they were accepted. Everything was very nice. So this is a night that we should reflect how practically the Ras Lila applies to our everyday life. The Ras Lila is showing us the process of pure devotional service. We cannot imitate the gopis of Vrindavan, but one thing we can do, we can humbly serve our Guru Maharaj, and in this way we can follow in their footsteps. And through this process we can please Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna, all of our desires are fulfilled. Krishna performed the Ras Lila when he was 8 years old. When you are 8 years old, you are not thinking of enjoying women. Huh? Krishna enjoyed the Ras Lila at this particular age just to show the pure, pristine quality of this most intimate reciprocation of pure spiritual emotion. And the fact is, and we should know, that Krishna is playing upon his flute for all of us. He is calling each and every one of us to enter in his divine lila. Simply, we must reciprocate. We must come to him. And then the supreme joy of life will unfold before us, right from within our own hearts. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.